Time for another Soccer Down Here 1v1, and it is time to catch up with the Vice Chairman and Chief Brand Officer of the Greenville Triumph in USL League One as our tour of the Southeast continues here in 2022. Time to catch up with friend of the network, Doug Irwin. Doug, thanks for hanging out with us for another 1v1.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
All right, so first reason that I wanted to bring you on is the recent announcement about the Triumph and the idea about Malden, South Carolina. And for those that aren't intimately familiar with the geography of the Greenville area, I guess let's kind of get into the whys and the wherefores and the geography and the logistics and all this. Explain Malden for us.
Yeah, sure, John. It's kind of a small world. The place where we're going is where we're hopefully going, I should say, is not far from where I used to live. You know, if we make a comparison to Atlanta and you look at all the, you know, numbers on a clock of all the suburbs, I would say Malden is about 5 o'clock. So southeast of Greenville. You know, Greenville's a city that's got very small city limits. So we can say we're going out to a suburb and still be less than 10 minutes door to door from downtown. The site that we've got for the proposed stadium is a fantastic development. It's just getting underway, called Bridgeway Station. It's about a 40 acre plot of land right on Highway 385 and about a mile and a half from where Highway 85 intersects. You know, this is, for us, it's a huge opportunity to get in front of our fans. A lot of people have asked what the why is for why Malden, why not downtown Greenville? You know, there are a couple factors. Obviously, that Greenville has some challenges in downtown on the land side. There's just not as much of it because it's such a thriving downtown. But for us, as we evaluated, we started at about 40 sites. We landed on this one because it's a great development with a developer who is very known and respected across Greenville and the upstate. But for us, it's right in the heart of our fans. We pulled a heat map of all our ticket holders from our three seasons so far, and the brightest spot on that map is right in Malden and Simpsonville, the neighboring town. So for us, this was a chance to get into a great development where people can come to the games early and shop and eat and hang out, and to do so in an area where the biggest core of our fan base is.
And this is something where, specifically in the USL League One model, that this is not anything new. South Georgia Tormenta, with their development in Statesboro with Darren Van Tassel, it's about having the stadium being an anchor as a part of a larger growth. Sean McDaniel and the Martinos in Chattanooga at CHI Memorial, the same thing. Stadium is in the process of being completed in its wraparound, but you also have the live, eat, work, play dynamic there as well. So this isn't something completely foreign to what we're seeing in USL League One, and it adds to the sustainability of having something more than just a stadium to where you can have things going on 24/7, 365.
Yeah, totally agree. And it's definitely not an accident that this is happening a lot, both at the League One level and at the championship level. You know, again, I think every team, regardless of sport, hopes that they can be a block off the main part of their main street or biggest downtown area, but that's not feasible everywhere. So if you're going to leave that downtown core, you know, what are the things you want to have? You don't want to be on an island. And the example we made is one that I think a lot of people cite. It's the Atlanta Braves example. You know, they leave Turner Field, which was downtown, but never really got the development around it that it was supposed to get when they moved in. And they go to a place where they can build a giant development with eating, dining, you know, apartments, et cetera. So bringing body heat to that area is important. Certainly for us in our situation, being on a major highway, the visibility that's going to come from that, of I think it's 90,000 cars a day or something that pass by. So that's huge for us. And yeah, turning it into more than just 2 hours of watching soccer is, you know, it's a whole day and afternoon for people now. And we're excited about that prospect because while we love Legacy, it certainly has its challenge and it is on a bit of an island, even though it's close to downtown.
What are the next markers that folks need to be keeping an eye on outside of the Greenville, Spartanburg area? Those of us who are following from the outside, what are some of the next markers that are going to be coming up down the road?
Sure. So for us, the presenting the initial plans was really the culmination of about a year and a half long process of going through vetting sites, talking to different people, working with different architecture firms, and getting to the point where we felt really good about a stadium proposal. We're working on a couple tracks in terms of how we're going to get the project funded. We're bringing a lot of the funding to the table on our own. We think it's wrong to just go ask governmental bodies to build a stadium for a team. So we wanted to show that we had real skin in the game. So we've got that that plan mapped out for us. We are working with Malden City as a governmental body, and we've got approval from their city council for their part of the funding. And we presented to Greenville County Council last week or 2 weeks ago now, I guess. So they tabled our presentation just because they wanted to have some more questions answered, which is perfectly perfectly within their right. And I think a good thing for us to make sure we can put them at ease about the project. But there's a lot of support for it, certainly in the community. And I think from the county council as a whole, we're in the finance committee of council right now. So the next step is likely for us to re-present to that finance committee, hopefully in at their next meeting. And I think about a week and a half, 2 weeks. So from there, we just need to get approval from the finance committee. And once we have that, then we'll go to the council as a whole. And once that gets approved, then we're able to negotiate a term sheet directly with the county and hopefully finalize a lot of the proposal that we feel is a very compelling and a win-win proposal. And once we finalize that, let's grab some shovels.
Now let's go from off the field to on the field and talk about the Triumph in 2021. What did you learn about yourselves? What did Triumph learn about itself as a franchise, I guess, both on the field and off the field back in 2021?
You know, I think we relearned some stuff we already knew. John Harkes is pretty good at coaching, and a lot of our players are pretty good at playing soccer. But I think the thing, you know, I know most people probably go to COVID and talk about that because we're still coming out of that. But, you know, for us, John, I think the thing that we had not experienced that we've been very fortunate on the first two seasons was avoiding injuries. And last season, man, we couldn't stay upright. I think that was kind of across the league a little bit. You know, we snapped back from the shortened 2020 season to, man, we're right back in a full 28 game season. And I do think there was some adjustment there, but I think John said we had 16 or 17 of our field players injured and missing games at some portion during the season. So for us, I think we learned the importance of that roster depth, which was something that, you know, it took us a couple of years to get to the point where we had a deep roster. Certainly building club from scratch year one, it was tremendous of us to get to the final. And I think in 2020 was where we started to see the versatility of the roster, and that was tested last year. And it's a testament to what John and his coaching staff were able to do recruiting guys, in to fill out the roster. And you know, we fell a game short. We got beat by a great Omaha team in a really, really unique and challenging environment. And they were on their game and we were off their game that night. So, the guys are hungry, but I think just the ability to overcome all those injuries and to overcome our longest winless streak of the season franchise history. I think six or seven games without a win, the ability to overcome that and go from 11th in the table and finish second, gave us all the confidence in the world. And I think that confidence is going to stick with us moving forward.
Does it seem like as long as it has been having built this franchise and grown it to where it is, or does it seem like it was just yesterday that things started and you're chasing after things and chasing after new things? Does it seem like yesterday or does it seem like it was a couple of years ago?
Can I say both?
Choice D works well as well.
Yeah, I think it does feel just like yesterday that we were starting the thing from scratch. I'm sure the other people you talk to across, really any league, you know, the 2020 and 2021 seasons felt like one gigantic season that lasted 10 years. And again, a lot of that was just COVID and scheduling and just, you know, there was really no off season because we were trying to get back to some kind of normal for 21. So I do feel like, you know, as we sit here now in late January, this is the first time that we've really had a chance since late 2019, early 2020 to just be planning normally, and you know, having a schedule out in advance. And it, so there, I feel like there are some similar feelings that we had going into 2019 that are back this season, that that's kind of fun to feel that buzz again. But you know, it's just wild to think that we're already entering year four. I can't believe it's been three seasons, but you know, again, it feels like two seasons and one of them lasted 40 days and 40 nights.
When you look at USL League One and you see the growth that the league has had, and you're going to have some new dance partners specifically out west here in the 2022 season to help things with travel and FC Tucson not being just all the way out there, you're going to have some dance partners to help them out. What's it been like to see the league grow? And we know that really this growth is just beginning because of the nature of the league and wanting to have the rivalries that you've already had, but they branched out over a larger league.
It's awesome. And I think one of the things, you know, it's easy for us to be selfish and want a bunch of new teams in the Southeast so we can get more bus trips instead of plane trips. But I know that the, you know, the big catalyst for the league is getting to the point where they can get to two conferences ultimately. So to see some West Coast teams come on and help Tucson and even Madison and Omaha, I think is big. And I know there's still plane flights out there, but you know, building the regional rivalries is key. And I think that's one of the things we're most excited about on the W League side is having all those short trips for fans. So to start to get to that on the men's side, you know, adding Charlotte, I know our fans are really excited about that. And to see this, the cities that are, you know, talking about coming in across the next few years, Lexington, Knoxville, et cetera, you know, I feel like that's going to be a jump off point is when we get to where we have a lot of those drivable great away days for fans and get the fan support, because we don't get to experience that every game yet. And I, you know, it could be 20 people that come to a game, but even 20 visiting supporters makes a huge difference in the environment, makes it a lot of fun. You know, the players get really hyped about that. And I just think that the direction the league is pointing, you know, going back to the stadium thing about we're seeing these projects all across the country. You know, the strength of the USL putting their weight behind the cities that have these stadium plans, it's bringing great stability to the league. And, you know, it's ensuring that the expansion is going to be healthy expansion and not yo-yoing expansion and contraction like we've seen in some other leagues cross country.
Doug Irwin, Vice Chair, Chief Brand Officer, Greenville Triumph, hanging out with us for a Soccer Down Here 1v1 as we look back at 2021 and look toward 2022 for the Triumph in Greenville and the Upstate. Since you mentioned the W League, all right, let's go there. What's it been like to see this come online? You know, the Super League's going to be a part of this whole process, and the USL isn't just standing pat with Championship, League One, League Two. It's the USLA, it's the W League, it's the Super League. What's it been like from your perspective to see all of these other initials attached to the USL?
It's great. You know, I mean, we forgot how much work it takes to start a team, even if you've already got a team now. So, you know, the W League certainly keeping us busy, but it's something that we're passionate about, that when we started this, we said this was, we were doing this not just for boys and men, but girls and women too. So when we started Triumph. So for us, you know, it was kind of waiting, and we had been thinking about starting a women's team since pretty much the first off season at the end of 2019. But we wanted to make sure the right opportunity was there. We looked at a couple of the other leagues, and you know, we just wanted to do something that we knew was going to be, again, what the USL provides. It's a strong league office, and one that has a mission that's aligned with ours. And so, you know, when we started hearing rumblings about the W League from the USL, we said, you know, we want to be one of the first, just like we were for League One. And what they're doing with the Super League too, you know, I think it's awesome. I think it's needed. The growth of women's soccer has been astronomical. And I think, you know, again, it provides a couple things for our fans and supporters, and you know, one obviously is the connection just to the women's game in general, which I think is huge for us. It allows us to shine a spotlight on one of the other big reasons we started this, and that's all the soccer talent in Upstate South Carolina. You know, we've had a couple of players here and there on the men's pro team that have had Upstate connections, but this is the chance to really highlight what a hotbed we are. And of the, you know, five or six people we've signed so far, the majority of them are upstate natives. And I just think it's going to be cool for our fans and supporters to get to see all those names and say, oh, I knew them when they were a youth player at CESA or United or wherever. So that's cool. And then going back to just getting some of these regional rivalries going, getting to play Asheville, which I've wanted to do in some way pretty much since we started. I love the guys up there. They do a great job. Asheville and Greenville have such a good little healthy rivalry. There's a team in Columbia, you know, we're going all over North Carolina and Georgia, hopefully. So I just think it's a really unique and cool opportunity for us. And if it goes well, then, you know, we might look at making the leap to Super League or something down the road. We'll see.
I was going to ask, you know, a lot of folks know the collegiate component there in the upstate with Clemson and USC upstate and the ACC and what you see in Western North Carolina in the tri-market, that's Asheville, Greenville, Spartanburg. But for those that don't know, break down the women's soccer component and what it means to that particular part of the geography.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's huge. There are a lot of top flight women's teams, regardless of what division they're in upstate. You know, again, you got Clemson, Furman, Anderson are the big couple, but upstate Wofford, and then, you know, just above in North Carolina too, you've got a lot of women's soccer talent. If you go down the road a bit to Columbia, certainly the Gamecocks have a great women's program too. So, you know, I think that people don't realize how many schools field soccer teams in the upstate, and some of the success we've had and had players come out of this area that have, you know, been on the youth national team, have turned pro and are playing in WSL. So we're excited to just kind of help that springboard, because in the past in Greenville and upstate, we've had a couple pre-professional amateur teams on the men's side that have been able to tap in local talent, but we've never had one for the women. So it's a whole new opportunity to help hopefully launch the careers of a lot of girls and women.
And when you look at back to the men's side here in League One, obviously a part of the process is turnover. You know, it's the rare instance where you're going to have an individual stay for the entire duration of the time that they first hit the door. You know, the Lou Whitaker, Alan Trammell bit where they're there for 20 years. And that's your Google reference for today, kids. Go and search that. That's a Detroit Tigers reference for one of the great double play combos of the 80s. It's very rare to have folks locked in for a lot of time. I know that turnover is a part of things. How different have things been so far getting ready for 22?
You know, it's, we've been really fortunate from the start to be able to return players on the men's side at, I think, generally a higher rate across the board than any other League One team or close to it. I know Darren in Statesboro and Tormenta, they do a great job of bringing guys back and keeping a core together. We have, oh, how many guys? I think maybe four guys that are coming back for their fourth season and a couple more coming back for their third. So, you know, it's certainly helped on the field and off the field, just setting the culture too in the team of having guys that have been here since the start. You know, as a quick side off the field, I have some new staffers working under me on the communications and digital side, and I said I felt like an elder now, because when they're asking me questions about 2018, 2019, you know, I've got all the franchise history in my head, and some of these players on the field, they have the franchise history in theirs too. So it's been great. But, you know, I think for us, this was kind of the first off season where we felt like, all right, we're not going to be able to keep everyone we want to keep. We've gotten lucky in the past where we've been able to sell some players on, and other players have left us for great opportunities. You know, this year we had to make some choices, and I think that was difficult. And, you know, certainly losing a fan favorite in Dallas J is tough for the fan base, the supporters, but, you know, we're pumped for Dallas to have a great opportunity in Monterey. Excited to fire up ESPN Plus and watch that a little more. But, and I think one of the kind of fun things too, that helps, is we're able to bring back Jake Keegan. And that's our first instance of bringing back a player who had played with us for a stint previously. So it's going to be unique. You know, we lost a lot of goal scoring from last season. with Marius leaving and Lachlan heading to Northern Colorado. So we've got to find some goals, but this is where having John Marks as your coach really comes in handy. I don't think we're ever hurting for potential players, and John and Alex and the whole staff is out scouting. So I think we're going to see a bit of a different makeup, even with a lot of returning guys. I don't know that's going to change the identity of our playing style so much, but for us, I think it's cool to bring back. I think we have 12 coming back, and have them help set the tone for all the new guys. And in the community now, some of these players are built up brand names that our fans know, and people around town start to, really put faces with names after a couple of years. And that just helps our brand grow in the community, which is great.
So you mentioned brand. Time to cut the promo for those that want to keep an eye on everything going on with the Greenville Triumph. How do they do it?
Yeah, check us out on social media, Greenville Triumph SC or GVL Triumph on Instagram and Twitter. Stay tuned for more on the W League team. We're still working on unveiling a brand for that. Hopefully in about the next month or so, that'll come out. And we got a lot of fun stuff planned. I've been in meetings this week finalizing our promotional schedule for this season. So a lot of cool theme nights coming, certainly with the women's team. Be on the lookout for that schedule soon. And then, help spread the word about the stadium. We need to get this vote passed and get this thing built so we can have a home for all soccer in upstate South Carolina. We think this is really going to be, I don't want to say a palace. That sounds like we're going to overbuild it. But a central dot for all soccer in the upstate. So fingers crossed we can get that done and start turning some dirt over.
And we'll be keeping an eye on things. As always, Doug Irwin, Vice Chair, Chief Brand Officer of the Greenville Triumph. Great to catch up with you. Great to get the update. Great to look back, but also looking forward. Once again, thanks for hanging out with us for a 1v1. We'll catch up with you soon with all the updates.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it.